Bear Country Police Department. You got Bruno.
Hi. Is this Police Chief Bruno?
Nobody else here by that name, so it's probably got to be me. What can I do for you?
Well, my name is Phil Gonzalez. I'm a podcaster here from I'm from Minnesota, the United States of America, Minnesota, and I have a few questions actually for you about Bear Country and specifically the Bear Country Police Department.
Wait, what did you say you did again? You're a what?
I'm a podcaster.
What's a podcaster?
I have a podcast here in out of Minnesota.
What's a podcast?
Well, it's kind of like a radio show, but for the internet, like a radio show on the internet.
What can I do for you, young fella?
Well, like I said, I've got a podcast that's about Bear Country. I talk about Bear Country. I talk about the history of Bear Country and what's been going on in Bear Country. And I had a question from a Patreon subscriber about the police department. And I was wondering if I could just add.
Wait a minute. What'd you say your name was again?
Phil Gonzalez.
Now I heard of you. Yeah, you're that young guy.
Well, I mean, actually...
You're that young guy. He's got that show. He's always sticking his nose where it doesn't belong. Always snooping around asking questions about Bear Country. About the crimes in Bear Country. About the history of Bear Country. About the people of Bear Country. And you know something? You know something, son?
I mean, what, sir?
We don't like outsiders sticking their nose where they don't belong here in Bear Country. We don't appreciate being talked about and analyzed and scrutinized by people outside of Bear Country. Now, I run a pretty tight police department. And then I go home and I raise up a pretty good daughter.
Oh yes, I mean, Babs Bruno. We've talked a lot about Babs. She's a stand-up kid.
Don't you ever talk about my daughter again. Now you listen to me, son. You're not gonna get word one out of the citizens of Bear Country, so forget it. Cancel that show of yours and mind your P's and Q's. You understand?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, Chief, but this is investigative journalism.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir, Police Chief Bruno, I understand.
Good. And don't let me catch your snooping face around here again.
Well, I mean, honestly, that went better than I thought it would. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and today... we're taking a look at a single question. It's a question asked of me by Patreon subscriber Michael, who asks, what do you think the Bear Country police blotter looks like on a typical day? Parentheses, let's say big chapter books continuity, since that's where we are, close parentheses, question mark, end quote. Now, for those of you who aren't in the know, as we say in the biz, according to the legal definition of police blotter, which is the term that Michael used in his question, a police blotter refers to the book that records arrests and other facts and events in a police station on a daily basis. And it records like names and dates and ages and descriptions and places and suspects and persons arrested and the time and place of the incident, all the little details that go into all these things that come through the police station. But of course, police blotter in America has come to mean more than just the goings-on in a police station itself. Today, when we think of the police blotter, we think of the reports that appear in newspapers and online that record the activities, both exciting and mundane, of the local police both in and out of the station. This can involve anything from investigating reports of robberies to domestic calls to simply responding to a report of littering, like in the park. It's anything. It's everything the police get just called to respond to, regardless of the outcome. So if you want to check out your local police blotter, just Google it. Just Google police blotter and the name of your town. You'll probably come up with some pretty interesting thing. It's most likely freely available for viewing. And it probably has like a hilarious name like The Naughty List or The Crazy Sheet. You'll find all kinds of ridiculous names that, you know, are called what they are to sort of to attract people to, I guess, like just sort of checking out the crime. Check out the crime in your area. and see these hilarious stories of people who well, you know, it generally tends to downplay the seriousness of your area's income and racial disparities. Just leave it at that. But Michael asked about Bear Country. And as we all know, Bear Country refers to the entire country. So there wouldn't be a police blotter for the entire country. But I know Michael actually meant Bear Town, the small community where most of the events of the Berenstain Bear books take place. And it would be disingenuous of me to make a bigger deal out of that than I already am. So just remember, Bear Town, people. Bear Country is the nation. Bear Town is the town. As the theme song says, somewhere deep in Bear Country is the Berenstain Bear family. And that's in Bear Town. Bear Town. So we're going to consider what the daily Bear Town police blotter looks like. We're going to need to consider what the Bear Town Police Department looks like and how it functions. So even though the police force is a major presence in many of the big chapter books, it's the lack of police presence that really stands out. Also strange, as has been noted in the past, is the various powers held by the chief of police, Police Chief Bruno. Also, how does the police department interact with, say, the Justice Department? We know judges exist within the Bear universe. We've met Judge William Gavel, but many of the powers of the courts seem to belong to the police, so it's strange. Also, there's a matter of detective work, which seems to fall entirely to... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The history of policing is the history of finding a balance between maintaining established order in a community and responding to infractions of that order. Or put it in other words, you know, preventing crime versus responding to crime. So, for example, in the early official police force of London, officers were generally tasked with only taking action once a crime had been committed. Then there was the blowing of whistles and the swinging of batons and the capturing, jailing, and execution of criminals, or, you know, more likely, Italian immigrants. It was a different time. But in Bear Town, the duty of the police force seems to be cleanup, at least as the books go along. In the early chapter books, like the Drug-Free Zone, the police take steps to prevent the distribution of drugs within Bear Country School. They fail, ultimately, and the capturing of the drug distributors falls to... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself again. Further, in books like The Ghost of the Auto Graveyard, Freaky Funhouse, The Maniac Mansion, the police show little interest in the ongoing crime wave in Bear Town and leave the investigations I'll get to that. So let's look at our force, our police force. At the top, we have Police Chief Bruno, father of Babs Bruno. Police Chief Bruno is a vague character. We don't ever learn much about him except that he's stern. Loves his daughter, makes decisions about whether or not certain cases should be brought to trial. Below him is Officer Marguerite. Now, Officer Marguerite appeared in the books long before Police Chief Bruno. She was in like the book about like jobs and things like that. Like, she's one of the bears about town. We've seen Officer Marguerite for a long time. We don't know much about her, except that she's nice, but she's tough. Now, in Maniac Mansion, we learn about Deputy Hopkins. So the presence of a deputy seems to imply a county sheriff's department, but we're never given any indication that the citizens of Bear Town are even aware of a sheriff or have ever elected a sheriff. Presumably Bear Town and Big Bear City occupy the same county, so the sheriff's department most likely has a greater presence where it is more politically advantageous to have one, e.g. Big Bear City, where there's probably more serious crime that the sheriff's department can take care of. But that's our force. That is our force. We see one or two other officers at times, but they go unnamed, and it is implied unloved. But all this serves as prelude to the answer to the question I quoted at the top of the episode, Michael's question, what do you think the Bear Country police blotter looks like on a typical day? A typical day. A typical day in Bear Town. Well, I think it might look a little something like this.
2:15 a.m. Suspicious behavior. Report of a bear loitering near Old Shag, the hickory tree located in Town Square. Officer Marguerite dispatched to the scene. Upon approach, the bear in question fled the scene. Officer Marguerite failed to identify the bear, noting only that he was male, approximately average height, with average features, and was muttering about bears today, not appreciating how well they have it, as he fled on foot. Officer Marguerite declined to follow him, as she determined an arrest would prove futile, as she had no proof he had done anything wrong. 6:15 a.m. Destruction of property. Officer Marguerite responded to a call by local resident Ben, Farmer Ben, Ben. Ben reported to Officer Marguerite that several of the prize-winning pumpkins in his pumpkin patch had been smashed. Ben had chased the perpetrators with a pitchfork, but lost to them once they hopped his fence. Ben stated that he stood screaming increasingly offensive invectives at their receding forms until his wife, Mrs. Ben, told him to please call the police. Ben described the perpetrators as, quote, four young cubs, roughly 8 to 10 years old. One wore a shirt in the style of a 1930s street tough, complete with pageboy cap. One wore a backward, at times sideways, baseball cap. One wore a whoopee-styled hat in the manner of Goobert Pyle, the mechanic from the Andy Griffith Show. One was nondescript. Ben added that the cubs were overheard saying, let's get out of here too tall, as well as shut your yap, Vinny, beat it, Scuzz, and drop that pumpkin smirk. My dad, Two-Ton, will kill me if I get caught vandalizing a pumpkin patch again this week. Ben also noted that the cubs in question appeared to be Two-Tall Grizzly and his gang, including the cubs known as Scuzz, Smirk, and Vinny. Officer Marguerite took note of Ben's report and decided there wasn't enough evidence to follow up with any of the residents in Beartown. 8 o'clock a.m. Report of attempted robbery by ghosts? Officer Marguerite responded to the report of an attempted robbery at the mansion of local multimillionaire Squire, Squire Grizzly, and his wife, Lady Grizzly. Squire Grizzly reported hearing strange noises coming from behind the walls beginning at midnight, but upon investigation by a figure referred to only as his man Greaves, no sign of forced entry could be located. Grizzly insisted to Officer Marguerite that such noises could only be the product of bugbears or the ghost of Farnsworth Grizzly, and Officer Marguerite used her judgment to take Squire Grizzly at his word and cease any police involvement. 8:15 a.m., report of attempted swindling. Officer Marguerite responded to reports that local charlatan and petty criminal Ralph Raffish Ralph Ripoff was plying his three-card Monty trade in Town Square at the base of Old Shag. Ripoff has been warned away from the town square approximately 73 times this month. Per Bear Country law, Ripoff was chased away by Officer Marguerite, who chastised him with a "Get out of here, Ralph," while shaking her finger in accordance with proper police procedures. 8:19 a.m., report of attempted swindling. Officer Marguerite responded to a call reporting that local charlatan and petty criminal Ralph Raffish Ralph Ripoff was seen doing that thing where you tie a string to a coin and use the coin to make a call from a payphone and then pull it back out with a string. Per Bear Country law, Ripoff was chased away by Officer Marguerite, who chastised him with a "Get out of here, Ralph," while shaking her finger in accordance with proper police procedures. 8:25 a.m. Report of attempted swindling. Officer Marguerite responded to a call reporting that local charlatan and petty criminal Ralph Raffish Ralph Ripoff was once again plying his three-card Monty trade at the base of Old Shag in Town Square. On attempting to make her official warning to Ralph, Officer Marguerite was informed by the suspect himself that it was now his 75th warning that month and to please go easy on him. In accordance with Justice Gavel's recent 75 strikes and you're out, Ralph, mandatory action law, Officer Marguerite was required to attempt to bring him in. Upon insisting that he wouldn't go peacefully, Officer Marguerite called for backup. Officer Marguerite was informed by Police Chief Bruno to let Ralph go, as there was no evidence against him that would stand up in court. Marguerite reported that Ripoff was seen wandering away, singing an impromptu song about all of his upcoming swindles and a, quote, big, big scheme he was preparing to hatch. 9 o'clock a.m., breaking and entering slash destruction of property by ghosts. Officer Marguerite responded to a call to Bear Country School. Principal Honeycomb called in to report a smashed window leading into the supply closet connected to the computer lab. As all students were accounted for, Principal Honeycomb expressed concern that the window could have been smashed by the legendary ghost of Bear Country School. Officer Marguerite examined the smashed window and discovered a dropped whoopee-style hat and a shred of leather torn from a leather jacket, as well as a note that read in part, Bermuda McBear hearts Cool Carl King. On reporting her findings back to the station, Police Chief Bruno determined there wasn't enough evidence to continue an investigation and ordered Officer Marguerite to cease all activity on campus. 10 o'clock a.m. Mob activity slash attempted treason. Officer Marguerite responded to a call to the police station, informing her that a large mob had gathered at the base of Mount Grizzly in an attempt to flush out the ancient being slash creature slash god question mark known as Big Paw. Big Paw, a local resident and or terrifying monster, did not actually show his face, but the crowd was very incensed upon hearing that they had recently been taken in by local swindler Ralph Ripoff, who then attempted to turn the swindle back onto the monster who lived atop Mount Grizzly. The mob, typical of Beartown residents, was easily swayed and had arrayed themselves with a large surplus of bayonets, guns, cannons, and other weapons of war. Officer Marguerite attempted to make contact with the leader of the mob, but was interrupted by the presence of two small cubs who climbed to the top of Mount Grizzly, spoke certain words to the Big Paw creature, came back down the mountain, and informed the local residents that gang violence was not required, mob justice could take a powder for the day, and the gang dispersed peacefully. Officer Marguerite called Police Chief Bruno after the incident, and he reported that as there was no evidence that any wrongdoing had occurred, she should allow the crowd to peacefully disperse and pretend as if nothing had ever happened. 11 a.m. Attempted overthrow of Beartown City Council. Officer Marguerite responded to a call from two unnamed cubs that a local group of bipedal mammals were attempting to overthrow the government of Beartown. When asked to specify what type of bipedal mammals the cubs were referring to, they remained evasive, but only said they look like bears, they dress like bears, but they are smaller than bears and may have pointed ears. Officer Marguerite did some brief investigating, discovered a large smashed pumpkin at the base of a cliff, complete with cannons and cannon ammunition, as well as the few scattered bodies of small bipedal mammals that resembled bears. Upon turning her back and turning back around, the bodies of the mammals had disappeared. She called in to Police Chief Bruno, who informed her that there was not enough evidence to secure any type of search warrant of any part of Bear Country, and asked her to keep the whole thing mum. Officer Marguerite then returned to her regular duties. 12 o'clock p.m. Report of attempted swindling. Officer Marguerite responded to a call reporting that local charlatan and petty criminal Ralph Ripoff was seen talking to a tree and begging, "Please, please, please, don't hurt me. Please, 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 I didn't mean for anything to go as wrong as it did. And by the way, would you be interested in buying a special powder that would make your hair long and luscious?" To the woman who was walking by at the time, he was not begging her, "Please, please, please, don't hurt me, please, please, please." He was saying that into the side of a tree, as if it could understand what he was saying, as if he was talking to someone down below. Officer Marguerite then approached Ralph Ripoff and asked what he was doing. Ralph Ripoff turned to her and told her to mind her own business. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was simply attempting to sell hair powder to all the women of Bear Country. Officer Marguerite asked to see the bear powder. Ralph Ripoff ran away from Officer Marguerite. Officer Marguerite shook her finger at him and yelled, "Get out of here, Ralph," in accordance with proper police procedure. When calling the police station later that day, Police Chief Bruno said it was probably nothing, there was nothing to worry about, and that Officer Marguerite should mind her own business. Let's see, there's a few more entries. Oh, looks like around 7 p.m. things start getting interesting. 7:20 p.m. Report of a disturbance. It's at Squire Grizzly's again. It looks like a bunch of bear cubs solved the mystery of the noises in his walls. The police showed up after the crime had been solved in order to make a few arrests, but the arrested bears were all sent home that night. 8 o'clock, another report. This looks like a bunch of cubs broke up a car parts ring. Police Chief Bruno arrived on the scene afterwards. He arrested several bears, including Ralph Ripoff himself, but then ordered they all be let go. Looks like the bear cubs also solved some sort of break-in at the mayor's house, some sort of break-in at the Bearsonian Museum, stealing of some dinosaur bones, stealing of some precious jewels. Man, the cubs did a lot before midnight. Seems that each time the police showed up at the very end, arrested a bunch of people, and those people were let go. Huh. That's weird. It's also weird. There's a lot of attempted murder in here. Attempted murder. 11 o'clock p.m. attempted murder. 11:15 p.m. attempted murder. 11:45 p.m. attempted murder. Murder. Drugs. Bootleg whiskey. Is that even illegal in Bear Country? The Bog Brothers. How many Bog Brothers are there? Wow, there's a lot of Bog Brothers. Arrest, arrest, let go, let go, let go. Police Chief Bruno said to let them go. Police Chief Bruno said let them go. Police Chief Bruno said to let them go. No evidence, no evidence. No evidence. Huh. Huh. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Bear Country Police.
Hi, is this Police Chief Bruno?
It's Bruno speaking. What can I do for you?
Bruno, this is Phil Gonzalez again.
I thought I told you to leave me alone. I thought I told you to never call back again.
No, Police Chief, I have a few questions. This is, why do you keep, why does the, A, why are there so few police officers working in Beartown? And B, why do you never hold on to any suspects? Why do you let suspects go? Why are you making decisions that the courts should be making? Why are you acting as judge, jury, and, well, I don't want to say executioner, but why are you acting, why do the police in Beartown behave this way?
Listen, kid, I'm going to admit something. I like you, kid. I like you a lot. I like your show. I like the things you have to say about Bear Town. I like a lot of the things you have to say about Bear Country. I like your insights. I like the work you put into it, and I like the guests you have. But this goes deep, son. This goes deeper than you could possibly ever hope to imagine. At the top of Bear Town, at the base of Mount Grizzly, there's three standing stones. You've noticed them, haven't you?
Yeah, the Sentinels. They call them the Sentinels.
I want you to do a little research in the future. All right? I want you to look up the standing stones of Bear Country. Not just Bear Town, all of Bear Country. Look up the standing stones of Bear Country. Look up the base of Mount Grizzly. Look up Raffish Ralph. And look up the Weasels. Not just Weasel McGreed. He's just there to distract you. The Weasels. This goes deep, son. Deep. Big Paw is only scratching the surface. The Weasels are only scratching the surface. This goes a lot farther, a lot higher up, and a lot lower down than you could possibly fathom. Am I making sense to you, son?
No, Chief Bruno, you're not making sense to me at all.
Good. It shouldn't make sense. Remember, son, as soon as it starts to make sense, that's when you gotta worry.
Well, that was certainly something else. That was certainly interesting. I hope that I answered your question, Michael. That's kind of what a daily blotter in Bear Country looks like. A lot of swindles, a lot of attempted murder, a lot of break-ins, a lot of arrests that lead nowhere. At least that don't lead anywhere comfortable. I wasn't expecting Police Chief Bruno to give me a lot of answers, but I wasn't expecting him to raise so many questions either. What is with those standing stones? What is with Big Paw? Why is there a monster in Bear Country? I'm going to have to investigate this further. And so I'm going to ask my listeners, if you'd be so kind, go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry and sign up. Become a patron for $1 a month, $2 a month, $5 a month. Support this show and ask questions like Michael gets to ask. Delve deep into the history of Bear Country. Make me think about these things. There's answers out there. I just don't know what they are yet. But I'm going to try to put the pieces together as we go along. We're entering a weird place in the books now. We're ramping up. We're at the end of the 90s. We're getting into the 2000s. Things are getting strange. New characters are about to show up. The dynamic of Bear Country is about to change. I'm scared.
I'm kind of scared. I mean, I'm not really scared. This is a podcast about the Berenstain Bears. It's not that dark, but it's interesting. It's interesting. Things, if you look close enough at them, begin to lose shape. Ideas begin to blur together. Bear country, bear town, big bear city, the Sentinels, Big Paw, Raffish Ralph ripoff, the Weasels. What's it all about? Questions within questions that beget more questions. Ideas that wrap around other ideas. Where does it end? Michael, I hope I answered your question, but I hope you think of others. I hope by answering what you put forth at me, I was able to make you think deeper about the things you asked me to think about. I hope that's what happened. I hope I filled up 30 minutes of your day. I hope I made you smile. This is the weirdest episode of Deep in Bear Country, and I did a whole episode about the Mandela Effect. Everyone, you can find me at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. You can write me at berenstainbearcast@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook. Go to Deep in Bear Country on Facebook. That's where I post all the episodes. Sometimes I post extra stuff. I'm on Twitter at bstainbearcast. And again, go to Patreon. Throw a few bucks my way. You get to ask me questions. There's not enough question askers out there. I want more questions, more and more. I want to know what you want to know so that I can answer it on my show. Didn't mean to rhyme. Just happens. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes poetry flies into my brain and it comes out of my mouth. It's magic. It's talent like that, I guess. Didn't even go to school for it. Went to school for theater. Look at me now, doing a podcast. Thanks, Mom and Dad. I mean, thank you very much for paying for my education. It helped. It really helped a lot. I met some good people. This is going nowhere again. Hey, everybody. Next week, we're going to come back with more Deep in Bear Country. So until then, I will see you all next. Man, this episode really threw me for a loop. I'll see you all next time, Deep in Bear Country.